You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
Talking Reds baseball once again on this Friday, April 22nd, with Reds reporter Mark Sheldon. Mark, we thank you for the time as always. And, of course, Mark, again, we're speaking on a Friday, about 12 hours removed from Jake Arrieta's no-hitter. We have to address this, of course. Let's just say a difficult night for the Reds as Arrieta throws his second career no-hitter, and the Reds fall 16-0. The first time the Reds have been no-hit since 71. That was actually the longest streak in baseball. That distinction now goes to the A's. But just talk about some of the locker room reaction last night from Brian Price and from the players after being on the wrong side of the no-hitter last night.
Yeah, just one thing you never know about when you come to work every day is what's going to happen, and you just don't come to work expecting a no-hitter, and I'm sure they didn't expect it for themselves. They had a good pitcher in Finnegan going, and, Jake Arrieta, he's flirted with no-hitters before, but he obviously didn't even have his best stuff, and he was able to pull one off, and there was a sense of embarrassment. Brian Price, in a way, was like, I hope they can put this aside and forget it, but then on the other hand, maybe they should remember this, and remember that this feeling, and that way maybe it won't happen again. They should maybe get this, and just let it sit for a little while and let them think about it. Jay Bruce was very gracious that, Arrieta beat them, but of course he was also conceding the fact that they just didn't do anything, and that was the kind of the onus. Scott Shubler said you don't think about no hitters when you're the hitter. Maybe until the eighth inning doesn't start sinking in that it's real. And he was the only runner that got to second base. He was on first base with a walk in the ninth and took second on defensive indifference. And that was the only runner they had in scoring position all night. So it's the worst margin of defeat in a no-hitter in the modern era, and it's going back to 1884. So it's definitely one they, whether they want to forget it or not, it's in the record books for at least a little while. And, of course, this joins the no-hitter when they were no hit in the playoffs in 2010 is another rough one for the club in the last decade.
Yeah, like you said, it's in the record books now. No erasing it, and it was what it was. Like you said, a 16-0 loss, and I find it interesting that Brian Price said that they were embarrassed. That's not to take anything away from Jake Arrieta, who is, you could make an argument, the best pitcher in baseball right now. But tough night for the Reds, and was the consensus that Arrieta just had unbelievable stuff, or was that, his stuff was good, not great, and the Reds just did nothing on their end to combat him?
I think a little of both. I don't think they sat there and thought he had amazing stuff. Even the Cubs were conceding that he did not have his best stuff last night, but he had, he always has kind of no-hit type stuff when he comes to the mound one way or the other. And they, they had a couple of close calls. They did have a ground ball that went to third base, and Bryant made a nice play and two-hopped the throw to Rizzo. And one of the key plays really was in the fourth, I believe. Suarez walks, gets picked off by David Ross at first base while Votto's batting. So they were able to realign the infield, and Votto hits a ball for a diving stop by Rizzo, and who covered, Arrieta was covering and got the out. But if Rizzo is covering first base, that ball is going to get through, and that's a hit. And we're not even having this part of the conversation. So, but generally it was just a good old fashioned beat down. The pitching, Brandon Finnegan said he had good stuff. He felt better last night than he did against the Cubs when he had a no hitter going into the seventh inning. But the relief behind him certainly didn't give them much of a chance.
Yeah. And I find it interesting about Finnegan the first time around against the Cubs. He brought the no-no into the seventh inning, I believe, in the Cubs home opener. He was fantastic. And last night, even though the onus, kind of fell on the bullpen for that blowout loss, 16-0, it's clear Finnegan did not have his best stuff, did not have the stuff he had against the Cubs the first time around at Wrigley. What were the differences between the two starts for him?
He maintains that he thought he had better stuff than he did at Wrigley. He felt like the two home run balls, he certainly would like to have those back, but he didn't regret the other hits that he gave up. He felt like they were just hits. They happened, but he didn't, the home runs he definitely would want back, but his consensus was that he felt better and he thought he threw better than he did. And he, you can't explain how sometimes guys that feel horrible or they're not having a good bullpen before the game, they go out and have their best game of their career, and sometimes it's the opposite. And it's the way it went.
That's baseball. We hear it from so many guys. Like you said, they have a terrible bullpen. They go out and throw a perfect game, or they feel like $1 million in their bullpen. They're gone after two innings. That is baseball to a T right there. So, again, not a good night for the Reds, to say the least, on the wrong end of Jake Arrieta's second career no-hitter. Moving on from that, somewhat interesting stat following the blowout loss last night. The Reds are now, according to Baseball Reference, 0-4 in blowout games, which is classified as anything 5 runs or more. But in one-run games, and I find this interesting given the bullpen struggles, the Reds are actually 5-2. That kind of caught my eye. Is there enough of a sample size here, Mark, to say that most of the victories the Reds are going to earn this season are going to be of the hard-fought variety, and they're not going to have too many laughers during the course of this season?
Until they get their bullpen situation straightened out, that does seem to be the case. That's only a little misleading, because there's a couple of occasions where they had a bigger lead going into the ninth inning, and things got hairy towards the end, and the other team came back. Like the Cardinals, they lost to the Reds 9-8. And the other day there was a loss over the weekend this week with Colorado, where Hoover gave up a 2-run homer to make it a 4-3 game when it was 4-1. So they need to figure out the bullpen to hold these leads down and to make them a little more secure and to keep the other team from coming back. But I think unless the offense can consistently score more runs, and they've done a nice job of that at some points during the year, not against the Cubs, but if they can give them a lead that's comeback proof, they'll be okay. And they have some guys that are hitting. Votto is not one of them, but Jay Bruce is hitting. Zach Cozart's hitting really well. Adam Duvall's hitting. So they have to find a balance where the starting pitching, the hitting, and the bullpen are all kind of working in tandem.
Yeah, let's go back to the bullpen for a moment. As just recently, a day or two ago, nothing more than that, Brian Price saying that they're going to go closer by committee, and J.J. Hoover's not going to be the everyday guy for closing situations in the ninth inning. But Price also made it clear that he's still a big fan of J.J. Hoover, wants him to get straightened out because he wants to put him back into that closer's role as quickly as possible. And closer by committee is one of those terms in baseball that's kind of frowned upon. It's kind of poo-pooed as something that, well, good in theory, not so great in practice. What are your thoughts on this? Could this work out for the Reds?
It could. The real issue, though, is I'm not really sure who else they have an option besides Hoover. It's not like all the relievers leading up to him have been doing a bang-up job either. And, Hoover's the weak link. It's not like that at all. Everyone except for Caleb Cotham has struggled, and he's right now been the lone guy that's really seemed to have done a nice job. Tony Cingrani would seem to present himself as a really good closer candidate with his background in college as a closer, and just that he throws real hard. But then there's a problem is that he's left-handed, and the only left-hander they have in either the majors or AAA. So there's really no way to set up to get to the ninth inning with another left-hander if he's not there. The thing is with this team is that there's really, and Price mentioned this, is that it's devoid of superstars in the bullpen. There's no real aged veterans that can sit there and say that they're deserving of a certain role, whether it's closing or the setup or anything like that. So in that situation, he has the room not to, make anyone mad by doing this. Until they earn it and show it on the field with performance, the right, I guess, to make a closer by committee and have the best guy, surface. I honestly think that once the rotation injuries start ending and guys start coming off the disabled list, Homer Bailey, Anthony DeSclafani, and John Lamb, et cetera, I think you might see some of those guys that are currently in the rotation may migrate over to the bullpen. And to me, a guy like Alfredo Simon, if he's healthy, could possibly be the answer to their eighth inning or their ninth inning issues, because I think he could certainly step in and close and not have as many issues if he's on.
Yeah, it's amazing. For so many years, you took that closer's role for granted because you had the best in the game doing it, just Mr. Automatic. He, of course, now with the Yankees, meaning Aroldis Chapman, and now the Reds starting from scratch trying to figure out the ninth inning jigsaw puzzle. J.J. Hoover, at least for the time being, not the answer. We'll see how this corrects itself as the season wears on. Mark, in the time we have left, you mentioned some of the guys still on the mend in the starting rotation, among the DeSclafani and Bailey. Give us health updates on them.
Yeah, Bailey threw in Louisville Thursday night. He's going to have at least two more rehab starts, increasing the innings little by little. Anthony DeSclafani is going to go down to Pensacola on Saturday and have probably two rehab starts. John Lamb is pitching tonight in Louisville, probably has two more to go. Then they'll reassess where he is. Lorenzen, who first had an elbow injury in spring training and then got sidetracked by mononucleosis and lost 20 pounds, he's just started playing catch again. And his future is right now murky in the sense that they haven't really addressed the idea. They just want to get him healthy enough to be you know, working out and pitching, but they haven't figured out whether they're going to try to express route him, maybe use him in a bullpen role. He's another guy that could represent as a closer possibly. And but if not, you know, obviously he's a rotation guy too. That's what he wanted to compete for in camp. So some things remain to be seen, but they are going to get some guys back within the next 2 or 3 weeks.
Good news for the Reds. And Mark, just to wrap up, quick update on Billy Hamilton, not in the lineup last night, and he seems to be suffering some ill effects from a spectacular catch he made on Jackie Robinson Day to rob Matt Carpenter of a home run. What's the latest on Hamilton?
Yeah, he's not in the lineup again today. He hurt himself making that catch, but it was still manageable, and he could still get through. It was a left thumb contusion, but then he aggravated it on, I believe, Wednesday. He tried to make a diving catch, and that's when I think he really hurt it. And he had his hand in a kind of a soft cast. They wanted to keep the thumb immobilized so that it wouldn't get, you know, banged into or anything like that. He's available for things like pinch running and defense, but right now it still bothers him to hit. And I'm sure when we see the manager in a little bit, we might get an update.
Well, Mark, if we're discussing another no-hitter at this time next week, hopefully it's by a Reds pitcher. We'll certainly hold out hope for that. Mark Sheldon, thank you so much for the time. As always, in the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extra's Cincinnati Reds.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go. Every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.